AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. We've been hearing a lot about inflation and we've been living through it for 3 years. So I'm sure we all have opinions about it and at least a surface level understanding of what it is. But today I'm going to go through and try to help separate the fact from the fiction, at least on a surface level for those of us who are not economists, and try to shed some light on some of the common misconceptions about inflation. So buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called Common Misconceptions About Inflation. Let's get started. First, what is inflation? Inflation is more money following less goods, and it happens a lot in countries like ours that have fiat currency. Fiat currency is currency that is not backed by gold or silver or any other precious metal or means of creating a standard that would limit the amount of money you could have in circulation. So in countries that have fiat currency, you can have a government that just prints more and more money. And when the government prints more money, it devalues the currency that is in circulation. So if an apple costs $5 and there are $500 in circulation, and then the government prints another $500, so there's $1,000 in circulation, that apple's going to go up in price to $10. So what are the misconceptions about this? Well, first, you've been hearing a lot about price gouging recently. Price gouging is when, from my understanding, it's when the price of something artificially goes up much more than inflation would merit, and especially when the quality of that product goes downhill at the same time. So a good example of this would be the universities. Universities' tuition has been going up much faster than inflation, which is why in the 70s you could have a part-time job and still pay for college, and now you can't do that. Meanwhile, the quality of university education has been going down. We could have a discussion about why, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. So then, you've been hearing that grocery stores do price gouging. Well, the problem with that is grocery store industry average profit margins, from everything I could read, is about 2%. If they're price gouging, they're doing a pretty crappy job at it. 2% profits is not a high margin. And then there's also been a lot of talk, and not just talk, but attempts to actually forgive student debt. Problem is that this type of forgiveness is not actually forgiveness. It does not wipe the debt clean. It just transfers it to the general populace. This causes not only for people to be incentivized to continue the same kind of poor financial planning that led to a high amount of debt, and especially unpaid debt in the first place, but also will cause universities to raise their prices, because while the government claims that the forgiveness is a one-time event, it also happens to be the case that a lot of government programs and agencies and powers are created because of a quote-unquote temporary need. But this need never seems to go away. It either, when it goes obsolete, it morphs magically into some other need that justifies keeping the agency around, or the need just never does go away. It's always there, even if you don't believe it. That's why in an essay I wrote, I said that government is the crappy house guest that never leaves. And so that's the other problem with forgiveness, that is actually just transferring money to the taxpayers. I've heard an analogy given that forgiveness for student loans is like having a restaurant pay for food you didn't eat. The thing is, though, even if restaurants in some wild scenario did ask a different customer to pay for somebody's food, at least the restaurant would have to consult you, but the government doesn't, because the government forcibly takes money out of your paycheck and then uses it as one giant pot. They don't send you an itemized list or budget or any report on how your money individually was spent. It's just, it's taken from your paycheck, and the only time you ever see it again is if you get a tax return. So, that's messed up. And then another proposal that's been made is to give people $25,000 if they meet certain criteria and are first-time home buyers to put towards a house. Well, the problem with that is that's just going to raise the price of a house by $25,000. So it's just going to exacerbate the housing, the home ownership problem we've had, where less and less people can own a home nowadays, especially young people starting out. And then another proposal that has been bandied about is the idea of taxing unrealized capital gains. This is nonsensical. Before I can explain why, let me get into the reason why taxing the rich in general is nonsensical. So, the left has been saying tax the rich probably since about the time that Columbus sailed the ocean blue, if not earlier. I mean, they've been saying it forever. The problem with that is if you tax the rich too much, they will leave. Why are factories moving overseas? Because it's cheaper to operate there. I'm not saying that means it's a good thing, just explaining why things are the way they are. The other problem is the left can't even define what the word rich means exactly. I mean, they'll say, oh, well, he has a yacht, he has a mansion, he has a this, he has a that. But they can't put a concrete number or definition on what is and what isn't rich. It's not like they say, oh, well, you make $1 million, you're rich. If you make $999,999.99, you're not rich. They also fail to account for the fact that wealth is often different on paper than it is in real life, because many wealthy people have their assets tied up in property in the stock market. Real estate values can go up and down for many reasons. I mean, if you have a storm that comes through and tears the heck out of your property, well, value is going to go down. You often hear about property values going down in a neighborhood when crime runs rampant. If you have stocks and the stock market decides to take a complete dump, well, then your net worth or whatever changes goes down a lot. And if your stocks go up into the heavens, then your net worth goes up. That's actually a problem I have with the whole net worth thing, beyond the fact that suggesting somebody is worth this much money is, if taken to its logical extreme, is dehumanizing, because we're all made in God's image. We all have worth in his eyes, but beyond that, net worth is confusing and misleading, because it conflates wealth on paper with real wealth that is actually able to be spent, and they are often very different. Another thing is that if you tax unrealized capital gains, sure, they say for now that it's going to be just for people making more than $100 million for now. But if they get away with it at that level, it's going to spread. I mean, the income tax started out, I don't remember what the exact cap was, but at that time when the income tax was first rolled out, not very many people were paying it because not very many people made however much money you had to make to be charged the income tax. But now basically everybody pays income tax. Now granted, a lot of people get tax returns, but you're still paying the tax. So, if you tax unrealized gains, that's just gonna bankrupt a lot of people if it spreads. And it's also going to contribute to the problems we have with homeownership, because if your home goes up in value and the government taxes that value, even though you didn't sell the house, then you're going to have people that get their houses foreclosed upon because they can't pay their mortgage because they had to pay this extra tax in addition to all the other taxes that we're having to pay for everything else under the sun. Now, another thing with inflation that a lot of people don't understand is that gas prices don't just affect how much you pay when you fill up your car or truck. Gas prices also affect grocery prices. So the same people yelling and screaming about price gouging at grocery stores apparently fail to understand that if the grocery store gets charged out of house and home for gas to transport the goods to the store from their suppliers, then that cost falls on consumers, as well as other increased costs. Also, the cost of electricity is affected by energy costs, fuel costs, I mean, because the power plants need fossil fuels in many cases, unless they run on nuclear or wind or some other source that is not fossil fuels. But even then, they have to at least have a backup, because wind and solar are notoriously unreliable, at least for now. So you have to have a backup generator or something to prevent massive blackouts. But that's a whole other topic that we're not going to get into today in too much depth. The point is that gas prices affect the price of everything else. And then, on top of all of that, people will say that the president doesn't control gas prices. They're true. They're right in the most direct sense, that he doesn't sit there and type in a number and say, you shall charge this much for gas. And we'll get to why that would be disastrous here in a moment. But he doesn't have to directly control the gas prices. Other actions and statements he makes and takes are going to lead to changes in that. Because if your president's out there saying, we're going to get rid of fossil fuels, that's going to disincentivize refiners from investing in oil. And if the president is discouraging oil drilling here and not allowing new permits, or telling his administration not to allow new permits, or appointing people in his administration who won't allow new permits for drilling, then the oil people need is going to have to come from other countries. And if the president is encouraging that and not encouraging drilling here, well, then the refiners are going to say, we don't need to invest here, because even if we don't get put out of business in 10 years, we're still not going to have as much demand, or no demand even, because all the oil is going to come from somewhere else. So it's like if your house catches on fire, and we're not even going to try to think about what the pre-existing causes are, because those don't matter right now. The analogy is your house catches on fire, and think of it that you call the fire department, and you say, hey, my house is burning down, and they just go, eh, and they don't do anything about it, which hopefully that never happens in real life. That's terrible. And I would hope that everybody responsible for that decision would get fired immediately, but in that analogy, the city did not directly burn your house down, but they didn't have to. They still, in a way, burned your house down because they didn't do anything about it. They just let it burn. So that it's actually a more real world example is that cops in some cities are being directed to not respond to some 911 calls. So, you know, if you're being mugged and you call 911 and the city doesn't respond, doesn't send cops to respond to that, the city didn't mug you, but they didn't have to because they let somebody else do it. So that's the reason why the president does have an impact on gas prices. He doesn't have to directly impact them because he has people for that, basically. And it would go the other way. If the president encouraged refining, encouraged drilling, appointed people who were on board with it, signed the permits, all of that, and refiners were able to have enough time to get that investment off the ground, because that takes years, then there you go. You would have more drilling here. You wouldn't have to rely on other countries, and gas prices would go down. So then the next thing is price controls. Harris has essentially proposed price controls. That would be an even more unmitigated disaster than the capital gains tax. Because if you control how much stores can charge, and you control like how much things have to be, not only is that going to cause a disaster because the people who are in charge of setting these prices have never farmed a day in their life, have often never run a business, they don't have enough information to make accurate judgments, so they're probably more often than not going to want things to be charged a lower price than is needed to justify making that thing or producing that thing. And that's going to mean that the producers no longer make enough money to be able to keep their farms running or their businesses, their factories open. And so you're slowly going to have less and less goods available. And what is available is probably going to come from the same big corporations that the left likes to take a dump on all the time. Because those are going to be the ones that have more money at their disposal than small businesses. The Soviet Union used to control prices, and what would happen is you would get there, you go to the store to buy bread or rice or milk or whatever you needed. You'd get to the store, you'd stand in line for 6 million years, and then you would find out, oh, we don't have any more rice or bread or whatever. But here's this sack of potatoes instead. Or even worse, sometimes they wouldn't have anything at all. So instead of going to the grocery store with a list and being able to get everything on that list and go home, you go to the grocery store with your list being more of a question mark, and you'd come home either empty-handed or with things you didn't even plan on getting, or you would maybe get what you were looking for, but it would be a smaller amount because that's what they had. Basically, it would turn grocery shopping into fishing, because you might catch something, you might not. Except that usually now when people go fishing, unless your job is as a fisherman, you're doing it for fun You might eat the fish, but you might also throw them back in the water. But now it'd be more high-stakes fishing at the grocery store, because if you don't catch anything, your family starves. If you do, well, then you might have enough food to get by, or you might not. So, all around, price controls, they've been tried, and everywhere they've been tried, it's just been a disaster. So, to recap, inflation is essentially more money following less goods. Price gouging is happening, but not in the places they'd want you to think. Student loan forgiveness would be a bad idea because it would just raise the prices of university tuition and would incentivize poor planning financially and cost the taxpayer a crap load of money. Gas prices affect the prices of a lot of other goods, and the president doesn't control gas prices directly, but he doesn't have to. And price controls are a disastrous idea, and so are subsidies for home buyers and unrealized capital gains taxes, as well as taxing the rich in general. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least become a little bit more informed by it. And I would love it if you'd pass it along to anybody you know that might be interested. You can currently find us on Spotify and Amazon Music and the RSS feed. I always forget to mention the RSS feed, but you can find us there. Have a blessed day.